Music Matters was presented by Tom Service and produced by Brian Jackson. This is BBC Radio 3, 90 to 93 FM, on digital radio and online. It's 1 o'clock. Time for the news with Vaughan Savage.
The Burmese pro-democracy leader Aung San Suu Kyi has been released from house arrest. She has spent most of the past 20 years under some form of detention. The 65-year-old Nobel Peace Prize laureate addressed thousands of cheering supporters who'd gathered outside her home after officials removed the barriers. She urged them to work together to achieve their goal. Her son in Bangkok said he had spoken to his mother on the phone. Human rights groups and leaders across the world have welcomed her release. David Cameron said it was long overdue and that she was an inspiration for all those who believed in democracy and free speech. President Obama said Aung San Suu Kyi was one of his heroes and urged Burma's military regime to free all its political prisoners. Government officials are insisting that councils wouldn't be sidelined in plans to change the way school funding is allocated in England. The Education Secretary, Michael Gove, wants budgets to be decided by a national funding formula rather than individual local authorities. The government is seeking to reduce disparities between the amount spent on pupils in different areas. At least 8 Taliban insurgents have been killed in Afghanistan after they tried to attack the airport and military base at Jalalabad. NATO forces said the insurgents were involved in a 2-hour gun battle. In the northern province of Kunduz, a bomb hidden in a motorbike exploded, killing 8 people. New research suggests that nearly a quarter of people who get cancer only find out they have the disease when they're taken to hospital in an emergency. Cancer specialists say it helps to explain why Britain has lower survival rates than many other countries. It's emerged that the owners of Pontins, and not their bank, placed the holiday camp company into administration. All 5 Pontins camps are continuing to operate. The weather, it'll be dry in most places with rain moving into Wales and northwest England this afternoon. There'll be some showers in Scotland, which could be wintry over the hills. The BBC News and Weather at 2:30 past one.
With Vaughan Savage. I'm Jill Anderson. Very good afternoon to you. In an hour's time, there's another chance to hear last Monday's Wigmore Hall lunchtime concert given by the Emerson Quartet. And they'll be playing Dvorak's Terzetto in C for 2 violins and viola and the String Quartet No. 4 in C. That's at 2 o'clock. But now it's time for the first of this weekend's early music shows. Amongst other things, Lucy Skeeping introduces highlights from a recent Brighton Early Music Festival concert given by the ensemble Passacaglia.
Thank you. Robin Bigwood playing a harpsichord arrangement of the overture to an opera by Thomas Arne entitled The Guardian Outwitted. One of his few theatrical flops, I'm afraid. It ran for just a handful of performances at Covent Garden back in 1764, before the company cut its losses and gave it the old heave-ho. Robin's a member of the ensemble Passacaglia, who performed as part of the 2010 Brighton Early Music Festival, and we'll be hearing more highlights from their concert throughout today's Early Music Show. So the Guardian Outwitted may have emptied the house, but generally Arne was pretty popular with London audiences. The man who bought us God Save the King was actually a great tunesmith, which was exactly what you needed in those days to work as a composer at Drury Lane or the Royal Opera House. And off-season, when the theatres were shut, Arne didn't lie idle. In fact, he was kept extremely busy during the summer on the south bank of the Thames as one of the leading composers at the famous Vauxhall Pleasure Gardens, a lively, romantic venue where the middle and upper classes could enjoy the warmer weather in an assortment of extravagant outdoor entertainments. The site of Vauxhall is now a sad patch of grass, cut in two by the Victorian Railway Bridge. But we have a colourful description of how it looked in the 18th century from the novelist Matthew Bramble. There were illuminated groves, wonderful assemblages of the most picturesque and striking objects, he writes. Pavilions, lodges, grottos, lawns, temples and cascades. It all sounds pretty magical. And some of the more cultured patrons, opera lovers perhaps, would also have noted the rather imposing statue of London's favourite composer, Handel, which was on display. And Hogarth also was closely connected with Vauxhall, having designed the little eating booths, the so-called supper alcoves, where visitors could snuggle up in privacy while they dined on the famous Vauxhall ham, so thin, they said, that you could read your programme through it. So this was a place for a good evening out. And with the British weather in mind, as an alternative to the bandstand, the proprietors also provided an elegant indoor music room known as the Umbrella, which was no doubt particularly popular with the musicians themselves, who were contracted to perform every night, come rain or shine. We don't have anything quite like Vauxhall these days, but the Brighton Early Music Festival certainly had a good stab at recreating the atmosphere for this concert. A team of willing volunteers had bedecked the pretty church of St George in Kemp Town with flowers and foliage and some clever lighting effects. And they even dispensed with the usual rows of seats, putting the audience at little tables. No ham, perhaps, but tea, wine and a slice of homemade cake completed the authentic Vauxhall experience. Now that's what I call a civilised way to spend the afternoon. a trio sonata in G major by Thomas Arne, performed there by the ensemble Passacaglia at their recent concert for the Brighton Early Music Festival. You heard Annabel Knight on the flute, Oliver Webber on the violin, Christopher Suckling on the cello and Robin Bigwood on the harpsichord. So the concert aimed to recreate the informal mood of an 18th century pleasure garden with laid-back cabaret-style seating, refreshments and the sort of entertainments you might have heard on summer's evening on the south bank of the River Thames. And in its heyday, Vauxhall offered something for all tastes, music by just about every notable composer in London, both old and new. No wonder the place was generally packed out. Particularly popular with patrons were Thomas Arne's settings of songs from Shakespeare's plays. And we're going to hear three of them now, sung by the soprano Julia Gooding. An ornithological pairing between cuckoos and hooting owls, with texts taken from As You Like It and Love's Labour's Lost. But first, Ariel's song from The Tempest, Where the Bee Sucks, There Lurk I.
Thank you.
When Icicles Hang on the Wall, a wintry account from Shakespeare's play Love's Labour's Lost, set to music by Thomas Arne and performed there by the soprano Julia Gooding with the musicians of Passacaglia. You're listening to The Early Music Show on BBC Radio 3 with me, Lucy Skeeping. Just as we take so much of our popular culture today from America, audiences in Georgian England were mad about culture from north of the border. The romance of the desolate, windblown highlands and lowlands seemed incredibly exotic and wild, especially for those who lived and worked in crowded, smelly 18th century London. So anything with a vaguely tartan flavour to it was a surefire winner. And composers duly obliged with Scottish themes, Scottish rhythms and drones and folksy melodies. Even Italians got in on the act, such as Francesco Geminiani, who made his home in London and became one of the leading musical lights in the generation before Arne. Geminiani was an astonishing violinist, so a lot of his compositions were written to showcase this instrument, including several short trios and solos based on Scottish melodies. We're going to hear two of them now in very different formats. The Night Her Silent Sable Wore is Geminiani's straightforward setting of a traditional tune, and it really does have a Celtic feel. But first, here's Julia Gooding singing Joseph Corfe's setting to the words of Lady Anne Bothwell's Lament, followed immediately by Geminiani's instrumental working of the same tune.
Thank you. expressing, transporting was the joy. I need no great amazing, so blessed of all was I. And she, all ravished with delight, in me oft come again. And kindly for that evil night, she rise and let me in.
Night Her Silent Sable Wore, a traditional Scottish tune set by the Italian composer Francesco Gimignani. It was played there by the musicians of Passacaglia at a concert they gave as part of the 2010 Brighton Early Music Festival. That was exactly the kind of song you might have heard if you'd been attending a musical evening at the Vauxhall Pleasure Gardens in London during the mid-18th century. And it was really nice that the Brighton Early Music Festival tried to recreate just a little of the same atmosphere at St George's Church, which sits just a stone's throw from the seafront. So how did it all go down with the festival audience?
I think it's great. I think it's a really good idea. People seem to be enjoying it. I think it's really nice to mix refreshments with music as well.
The cake was wonderful. It's selling like hotcakes.
The cake is absolutely delicious and such a lovely thing to get at a concert. We've had as many as we can fit in, actually. We've had the coffee cake, the raisin cake, the sponge cake, the absolutely lovely cake.
The atmosphere, you see, is throbbing with a kind of senile enthusiasm of a Sunday afternoon. Nothing brings on this kind of excitement, I think, more than a tea cake and a glass of fizz.
People can relax more. It's nice to be able to have a glass of wine at a table, chat away in the intervals. It's lighter. And you just can't be serious in a place like this with the setting as it is. It's fun, and that's what life should be about.
Music and afternoon chat and tea, it goes very well together. There is always a formality going up to the festival hall that, yes, it's all very good, but this is different. It's lovely.
My son, who's with me, is saying how much he's enjoying it because he can just relax. It doesn't actually matter if he fidgets a bit. No one's going to take any notice.
Yeah, I'm loving it. It's really nice to be able to listen to music when you're not all just sitting down in rows.
I think a lot of the audience are enjoying the fact that they can have as close to a recreation of the original Vauxhall Pleasure Gardens as we can do here in Brighton in the 21st century.
Yes, quite. A bit limited in what we can do, but we've been to lots of things in this church, St George's. I've never seen it quite decked out like this. I mean, the lights and the foliage.
And it's completely changed the ambiance, yeah. And people seem to be really loving it.
People love it. Absolutely loving it, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think the whole idea of the Pleasure Gardens, and not just Vauxhall, but all the other Pleasure Gardens, was a wonderful way of listening to music in a very sociable way, and promenading and interacting and parading in one's finery and so forth.
I think it's really nice to get the music in more of an atmosphere in which it would originally have been played. And it's nice that you can relax, still be drinking your tea, have a piece of cake and be listening to this lovely music.
They're very informal, aren't they? Very, very laid back, and it just fits really well. You could imagine you were in the Vauxhall Gardens, I guess.
Marvel of Peru, an air by the Scottish composer James Oswald, who, like Arne, was born 300 years ago this very year. It was played by the musicians of Passacaglia at a concert they gave as part of the 2010 Brighton Early Music Festival. James Oswald was one of George III's favourite chamber musicians, and that piece comes from a set entitled Airs for the Seasons, in which each piece is named after a seasonal flower or plant. Not all of them were native to these shores. In fact, the marvel of Peru is a flower thought to have been imported from the Andes in the mid-16th century, also known, I'm reliably informed, as the 4 o'clock plant. The things you learn on the Early Music Show, eh? But enough botany. Here's some more music from the concert, another one of Thomas Arne's pretty trio sonatas. Just the thing to come wafting out of the bandstand on a summer evening.
Thank you.
a trio sonata in B minor by Thomas Arn, performed there by the ensemble Passacaglia at their recent concert for the Brighton Early Music Festival. Annabel Knight was the flautist, Oliver Webber the violinist, with Christopher Suckling on the cello and Robin Bigwood on the harpsichord. Well, after a pleasant summer evening at Vauxhall, dinner, music and perhaps a little stroll with your lover through the gently lit pathways, many Londoners would queue up in their finery, by now probably a little muddy around the hem, to take the ferry across the Thames again and back to reality. And it's almost time for me to leave you too, but we've just got time to squeeze in one final song. And it's a setting of words by that celebrated actor, playwright and theatre manager David Garrick. It would be nice to think that all the creative artists associated with Vauxhall Pleasure Gardens were on friendly terms, but the truth was Garrick and Arn absolutely hated each other's guts. They'd been colleagues at the Theatre Royal, Drury Lane, and they'd had a spectacular falling out over Arn's sister, the actress Susanna Cibber, who quarrelled with Garrick over her salary and stormed out in a fit of pique. Arn followed her, partly out of brotherly love and partly because, to be honest, he was the sort of chap who could never avoid a good argument. And although Susanna later made her peace with the great and influential Garrick, well, you would, wouldn't you? Arn continued to have a personal grudge and the two never worked together again. This song, though, predates this theatrical spat and it became one of Arn's most popular pieces with the Pleasure Garden audiences. Garrick's words are a romantic eulogy in praise of the River Avon and to his beloved Shakespeare. Thou soft-flowing Avon, by thy silver stream of things more than mortal, thy Shakespeare would dream. The fairies by moonlight dance round his green bed, for hallowed the turf is which pillowed his head.
Julia Gooding and the musicians of Passacaglia with that song by Thomas Arne, ending today's early music show from the Brighton Early Music Festival. It was presented by Lucy Skeeping and produced in Manchester by Les Pratt. And there's more from Brighton and from Lucy in tomorrow's programme, when she introduces highlights of a concert given by Dame Emma Kirkby and the International Baroque Players. The music, which marks Remembrance Sunday, includes pieces by Purcell, Carissimi and Pergolesi. Do join us for that at the usual time, just after the 1 o'clock news. In an hour's time, at 3 o'clock this afternoon, World Roots will be hearing more highlights from WOMEX, the annual gathering of the world music industry that took place in Copenhagen last month. Lucy Duran will be introducing that programme. But now, it's just after 2 o'clock, we've a second chance to hear last Monday's lunchtime concert at London's Wigmore Hall. It was introduced by Fiona Torkington.
The members of the Emerson String Quartet say that it's their sense of humour which has kept them together for over 30 years, taking themselves seriously but not too seriously, and of course taking great music very seriously indeed. This world-renowned New York-based quartet is here at Wigmore Hall this lunchtime to play Dvorak. His String Quartet number 11, which he wrote for a Viennese quartet to play. And before that, cellist David Finkel gets to sit out while the others play Dvorak's rather lovely terzetto, Opus 74. Dvorak himself was a viola player, and this trio was written for a violinist friend of his, a young chemistry student who lived in the same house, and who Dvorak heard playing violin duets with his teacher. Dvorak thought it would be fun to write something he could join in with on viola as well, and set to work on some music in the early weeks of 1887. The young student found it too difficult to play, but Dvorak passed the score on to a professional ensemble in Prague who quickly added this engaging music to their repertoire. So here now to begin today's lunchtime concert are three of the Emerson String Quartet, violinist Eugene Drucker and Philip Setzer, and viola player Lawrence Dutton to play the terzetto in C by Dvorak.
Thank you. Thank you.